Hi, everyone. Welcome back to OMG Stop. I'm Jamie.
I'm Krista.
And today we're talking about how our bodies have kind of morphed and changed and whatnot over the years, going from our like teens into our 20s. And Chris and I have kind of talked about this a little bit prior, but we thought we'd go a little more in depth.
Yes. So today, guys, it might be a little personal subject. I'm just kidding. Jamie and I, you know, we keep a variety of friends. We've had some light topics. It's getting a little serious today, but I think especially in the times that we're in, people are at home more. People maybe you've seen have either, you know, changed their life or made some personal health adjustments for the better, or maybe not so great. Just kind of depends. Jamie and I felt like reflecting on the course of life in our 20s so far, since we're both 28, the way our bodies changed, or maybe how just we viewed our bodies over the course of life as being a female with media challenges every day. So we felt very, very, very strong about talking about this. It's important, guys. So let's get into it. To start, Jamie and I, again, are very different guys, but even still, like, you know, Jamie and I are both pretty small people, I'm saying, in terms of Jamie height, and I'm also not very tall, but I've gained a couple inches of back surgery. Even still, growing up, I remember that I was always kind of seen as like, oh, a small little person, and small in that sense of like, oh, she's short, but also like, I was always pretty small, like thin-wise and such. I've always kind of had small bones, especially in my like immediate family. My sister happens to be kind of more developed than me, and I've always been kind of more of like, oh, very much like a ruler, which, to be honest, I'm totally cool with, because I feel like some curves get in and they freak me out because I'm like, this doesn't make sense for my body. And some people I feel like look so good with curves, and it's almost like I'm just not used to it with my body, since I'm used to being athletic or busy or active. And it's sometimes when like boobs or butt or hips get in the way, you're like, how do I use this? I don't know. And I know especially in puberty times, you know, when most females, the fun stuff in high school when you get your period and everything. But a lot of that started changing. I think for a bit, I was very uncomfortable with myself. Like maybe, you know, when you're young, you're just like, oh, you're almost like obliviously confident. I think, Jamie, you know, we're kind of young, kind of like, oh yeah, you don't think about your body. Maybe kids do nowadays. I don't know. For me, when I was super young, I say young meaning like elementary school, I didn't really think about much. You know, it's kind of just like, hey, my body's active. I eat, I run, I move. Not like running, just kind of you play around. And so I think especially in middle school, when maybe, you know, boys kind of come to the picture more, or just the whole idea of dating and how you meet other girls in class who maybe have a lot more curves than you, or just seem maybe more womanly than you, and you're still feeling like, oh, I'm such a small little girl-ish in the school sense of the and sense of time when you're like 11, 10, 11 years old, 12, 13. And I know when I first got my period, I just wasn't comfortable with the fact that I feel like, for me personally, even though people are going to be like, oh, it's so false, this is my point of view of myself. We all have different opinions of ourselves and others, how they see us. I always was like, oh, like, why do I have hips growing? Or like, I just felt like things were getting wider when, even though I know I used to look probably small to the outside, I know certain clothes are fitting differently. And I felt like, okay, I almost, since I was used to kind of having a really flat stomach with like strong abs from gymnastics, I actually had abs like early, not maybe like super tight abs, but like I had a six pack my cousin complimented on like a trampoline when I was young. And I was like, I don't even know what those are, but cool. You know, just like I had ribs and I had muscles. Great. Just from being active. And I know when like I started to maybe just like feel like personally the puberty time when I was gaining weight and kind of getting taller, not a ton, but a smidge, I wasn't comfortable in that weight. And even if it wasn't a lot, I'm someone, guys, who, to be honest, I know people talk about their weight, but I was under 100 pounds the majority of my life. So it may sound hilarious and crazy, and everyone's like, oh, like, poor you, simple thing. Like, I know it's not the end of the world, but it's one thing where you always want what you don't have. And for me, because I was always so used to being very small and, like, lightweight and definitely, like, smaller sized, when I started to get closer to triple digits, which is totally normal, especially as an adult, hello, especially when you're like past teenage years, hello, it just felt very difficult and challenging for me to accept and to almost like be comfortable in my body with even like baby curves, I feel like, because I've always had kind of very small curves. It just, I know at first for a while, I wasn't used to it, kind of just like then acne comes along and it's just, it gets bumpy, friends. I don't know. It was like a weird time in middle school. And there was a point I was mentioning to Jamie before we started recording where I personally never had an actual eating disorder. I've always just been very small, had a very fast metabolism. I have a big appetite, but I happen to also have a very healthy gut microbiome, and I go number two a lot. It's human. Talk about gut health. It's cool. I'm open to it. And so it's not funny, but it's funny the fact that a lot of my relatives always joke like, oh, she eats a lot and then is in the bathroom. I've never been someone, guys, like, it's not to be taken, like, lightly, because some people, obviously, they go to the bathroom and make themselves sick. I've never personally dealt with that. I've never tried to, like, eliminate food that I just consumed, but it's a serious thing, especially affects, I think, a lot of women growing up in teenage years when, beyond magazines, Jamie, even before we mentioned, you know, this is all pre-social media times, guys. This is like, you know, even still, there's magazines and television and movies. Even still, it's just the society and how women are when your body's such a, like, visual thing. And it just, I feel like, determines a lot of your worth. And just, it gets into your head. I don't know. And even maybe you have certain friends and, like, maybe they have all the guys coming to them and not you. And just so much of that, like, I don't know, tweaks your brain. So for a while, again, the puberty stuff, I wasn't feeling so great. I didn't have an eating disorder. However, I think I kind of, developed an accidental addiction to exercise. Like, not like my life now. It's different. I teach fitness, guys, and it's not like
orthorexia. Is that what they call it?
Yes. Jimmy, yeah, I feel like that term sounds like really intense, but I think that's correct. And Jimmy, it's almost like I feel like when we were growing up, I don't know about you, in health class, I only knew about what? Anorexia and bulimia. And I was like, okay, those are very serious. I actually knew a girl, unfortunately, who I did track with, who she had a little bit of both. Not funny, I didn't know her, but I knew some of their friends who knew her more personal situation, but I just knew, like, she wasn't in the best place for a while, unfortunately. I totally understand. I get it with life. You know, everyone has their own reasons for it, and it's just too bad that I know she struggled with that for a bit. But I know when I was, like, 13, 14, before I was working at Ben & Jerry's, working part-time in high school, I had, like, a summer where I was like, okay, I'm very type A, guys, and very perfectionist, and because of my upbringing and stuff, like, always want to have certain things, like, this way and that way, and look a certain way for a part of my own expectations, but also part of kind of like my immediate family upbringing, kind of like what I feel is like subliminally thrust upon me. And so I created like a chart, which is not bad. It's like a totally fine thing, but I know I took it a little too extreme for me when my body's probably fine, but I went to the extreme exercising where I don't think my numbers were anything crazy, but I know I, inside my head, was not healthy. You know, your own perspective of how you thought about yourself. And so I, for a bit, I think, was like super, super concerned about, like, oh my God, how much do I weigh? Like, it wasn't about muscle back then, which is crazy. I feel like to me now, it's like women are more and more celebrated, thankfully, for like strong bodies, right? I feel like back then it was kind of just like skinny or fat, which is so different. It's such an extreme lens. So I, guys, happened to like, not like schedule my food. I was never counting calories or anything. Okay, rewind. I kind of counted for a little bit, but it wasn't like super, super fixed, but it was super strict enough where I was like, okay, I had my meal written down for the day. Then I'd work out. Then I had a meal. Then I'd work out. Like, it was very kind of, I always had to try to counteract almost what I ate, and I would still eat a lot, but yet it was just, I had like a very fixed schedule for a bit. That was only like for one summer or so before, I think, middle school, before high school. It was like, yeah, middle school, high school. The time where it's just nothing seems to make sense for you, for me, for my human body and female body. I was like, I don't know what I'm supposed to look like, how I'm supposed to feel. I don't know. I feel like also your digestion system changes a bit, you know, when you develop and you get taller and older. You know, I used to be able to digest food really fast, and I feel like, oh, I'd eat and I could eat whatever I want. I have to be careful of it and wouldn't affect me. It still affects you, people, just like some people, you know, my metabolism's been so fast for a while, but especially more so, I'd say, during high school, and especially, I know, with college and post beyond. Yes, I've always probably looked really small and been in shape, and I have been. I've been pretty, like, you know, secret fat kid, meaning, like, I don't, like, binge or anything crazy, but it's, like, maybe, you know, I think, especially in FIT days, you know, kind of, like, what, eat at odd intervals because of life schedules. Maybe you kind of snack, or then you kind of, maybe you'll eat, like, one good meal, and then, like, not eat a lot, and then I would literally get random snacks in the FIT Starbucks, which is not, like, it's not like I'm almost like restricting myself, but I feel like it's like, it's a bad behavior. You know what I mean? Of kind of like, oh, I didn't eat a lot, so then I can like eat a ton of junk, which isn't okay.
Right.
So I got into that for a while. And honestly, for the longest time, I feel like even still, like, I think every day you still try to figure out kind of what works for your body, especially if, like, during quarantine. I mean, even when I teach fitness, then I have enough imposter syndrome as it is. As I'm teaching fitness, like, I'm really good at making other people feel good, I hope, because I feel like I make people feel good, but I have problems making myself feel good. So it's like, I try to do that with coaching and helping people, but it's hard to sometimes like coach yourself with those kind of things. And I know for my own body, for a while, especially in high school and in college, I feel like I working out was more sanity for me than it was like to balance out food. So then it became more healthier and balanced, of course. It was not like I'm eating all this and I need to like work a ton to balance it out. Like, the point of food, guys, is not to work it all off. Food is fuel for your body and for your brain. And I think we all know too, like, I'm sure Jamie, you've had days too, especially working from home kind of craziness where you forget to take care of yourself, then your brain, you feel like different kinds of fatigue, or maybe you don't take care of yourself with certain hydration or not eating the right foods, and it's kind of like you feel more lethargic or whatever. I mean, we've all been there, right? And so it's like, it's tough, I know, to monitor ourselves with that in general, let alone in this year when there's a lot of external stressors and anxieties kind of coming into play. And people, I think, also maybe getting a little bit of like moody blues pre-winter with, oh my gosh, when am I going to be able to like spend time with my friends again? Because that, I know, definitely affects me. And some people, of course, turn to food. Some people go to exercise. And I think I'm in a place currently where I have a healthy balance of that, but it's more so I still need to make sure I remind myself to like, okay, don't forget, like, you are worthy. You are allowed to sleep and you're supposed to sleep, and sleeping is good for your body and brain. I've learned that since my surgery, for sure, because of how after I had scoliosis surgery and especially experienced the strokes, like, my brain and body, like, it needed the sleep to heal and repair all the muscles and everything else I had just gone through, and especially after the strokes for my mind to, like, bring all the components, like, put it back together or who knows what. And so, yeah, I think I sort of take care of myself better, but even still, I know, I think sometimes we all forget that if we can't take our health for granted, guys, we mentioned that before, but also to give ourselves a break, which is tough because we can't be too restrictive with any kind of wellness routine or fitness regime for ourselves, because then it just becomes too, I know, depending on my brain, because I'm very like obsessive and like I said, OCD kind of thing, where I feel like it goes to the extremes, and that's not healthy. It's also hard to balance it out, guys. But that's, again, with the health coaching aspect that I like to talk about. It's a bio-individuality where one person may eat this, do this, live life that way, look this way. Someone else could do the exact same and look totally different and feel totally different. So it's just, it's hard because I think even without trying, we compare ourselves to others. And I know I felt guilty of that more so the last several months. Because even if everyone like looks fine on social and you know how you present yourself on social media, we know inside, you know how you feel, but you don't know how like they're actually going through, because people don't always showcase, except for close friends, what's actually behind the scenes of their visual display, collage or so. I don't know. Jamie, your turn. That's a snippet. Okay.
All right. So my story, let's see. So I think I mentioned before, and I have a, we can link it below. I did a whole YouTube video about my body image issues and how my body has changed. I've been on Weight Watchers since I was 10 years old. I went on Weight Watchers because I had two surgeries when I was 9 years old. And after the second one, I gained a lot of weight. I'm also small. Like Krista mentioned, I'm under 5 feet tall. I'm tiny. And my mom even says, if any weight you gain, it shows more so when you're short than when you're not. So I had gained a lot of weight, and being tiny, my weight affected also my endocrine system. I have a kind of messed up endocrine system. That's your hormones. So I had an endocrinologist my whole life who was very obsessed with my weight and keeping it at certain numbers. And I also have two parents who, if they listen to this, sorry, mom and dad, you both don't have healthy relationships with food. And I'm very observant of that. So yeah, they won't admit it, but I think their relationship with food is not the healthiest. So I also, my parents have obsessed about their weight their whole lives. My dad was obese as a child and had to go on an extreme diet. My mom was very heavy at one point and lost 100 pounds on her own before, you know, not with the help of Weight Watchers, just by eating right and exercising and all of that. So it's hard when you have two parents that have, I don't think they've had the best body image issues either. So when I was 10, I went on Weight Watchers. I lost a lot of weight. I hit puberty at 12, but kind of like Krista said, even in middle school, I was comparing myself to others because at 10 years old, I thought I was like sexy in a way because I was skinny. And I'm being told I looked great. And my teacher also was careful about, like, she knew that I was on a special diet and things like that. And she was very like cognizant of that. What 10-year-old goes on Weight Watchers? But let me tell you something. I wasn't the only 10-year-old on Weight Watchers in my group. I went to a special kids group for kids that were overweight, and you had to get a doctor's note and everything. And there were kids as young as 10 to as old as like 17. So I hit puberty at 12, boobs came, everything. Looking back on photos in middle school, though, I was like, I wasn't heavy or anything, but I developed. And I got boobs and thighs, and I feel like I've always been like kind of like a chunky kid. I don't know, I always thought I was chunky, and then I look at photos of me and it's a kid and I'm like, oh, I'm kind of average actually. But you know, you start comparing yourself to other people. And I got to a point where I didn't want to journal anymore. That's so in Weight Watchers, before smartphones, you had to actually journal on pieces of paper, not environmentally friendly at all, because you would throw them out when you were done for the week. And I was already a lifetime member, but I was now, my doctors were constantly changing my goal weights because I was in puberty and I was developing. So maybe when I was 12, my goal weight was like 88 pounds. And when I was 13, it was like 95 pounds. And when I was 15, it was like 110 pounds. Like, you know, it was always changing. And I got to a point where I just didn't care anymore. And I didn't care to journal. So I just kind of like lost control. And I think it was also a matter of my parents, even though they try and eat healthy, they do have like junk food around. And I was home a lot as a kid, especially my teens. Like my mom worked. And then my dad did, when he retired, he got involved in a lot of other things to kind of just keep his mind stimulated and keep busy. So I'd be home a lot alone. And if there were things in the house, like I don't know if it was binge eating, but it was close to that. Like Krista said, I've never been anorexic. I do know someone who was severely anorexic and hospitalized. And it truly changed her when she was done. And I've never tried to make myself vomit or anything like that. But I definitely overate. And it got to a point where, yeah, when I was in high school, I thought like guys didn't like me because I wasn't skinny or pretty enough. Meanwhile, my boyfriend in high school was like, I actually like when you don't wear makeup. And so I stopped wearing makeup to school because I was like, okay, sure. Like less effort for me in the morning. But it was hard, especially in drama club, because, you know, and in gym class when you're changing in front of everyone and, you know, you don't feel good about your body. And, you know, like most girls didn't look like me in high school. Like I had curly hair and I had big boobs. And especially at camp, like I hated being in a bathing suit. And it was always harder for me to like find bras and clothing and stuff. And it just wasn't fun. But especially in drama club, that's when I just hated it the most. My senior year, I had a costume where it was like very it was very body hugging. I was one of the silly girls in Beauty and the Beast. And I mean, I'm curvy and I lost weight my senior year because I had gotten what I thought was my heaviest, not knowing years later I would become even heavier. And I look at that photo and all I can think about is like, I'm not thin, I'm not skinny. Like, and this outfit makes my boobs look bigger than they already are and all these things. And then going to college, going to FIT, my whole eating got thrown off. I gained all my weight back and I said I wouldn't. I went off the rails and it's very hard, especially in my major. You know, we always used to say that there was this underlying thing at FIT, that this unspoken subject of body image and thinness, and it was never really addressed, but you could feel it in class all the time. So I went through that. And then up until about 2-3 years ago, I had lost a lot of weight and then I gained the weight back because I stress eat. I had a job that was very stressful and I was kind of at a weird point in my life. And even at work, I would do the same thing. I would compare myself. I worked with very thin women, you know, the fashion industry, also another unspoken thing. This is before like embracing everyone was a thing. And I remember it got to a point where I got to a point where I got really heavy and I just didn't care. And I was also drinking more with my friends, going out more with my friends. I wasn't working out as much and I got to my heaviest and I was like 20 pounds overweight and I didn't care. And I was still going to Weight Watchers meetings every week, but I basically just wasn't following the program. And then it got to a point where for some reason, I don't know if things just caught up with me, but over this past year, I've had very bad stomach problems. And it got to the point where I was just nauseous all the time. And I saw this doctor and he said, yeah, first off, like you're overweight. Like we got to address it. You're overweight. And this is the only way we're going to get you to lose weight. And I basically had to cut out like all carbs, all grains. I had a super, super, super strict diet. But because of that, the weight just fell off. And it kind of clicked that maybe these things weren't good for my body. Like I've reintroduced gluten, but I used to eat bread all the time and I used to eat dairy all the time. And especially living alone in an apartment and being on my own, you know, I wasn't at my parents' hands. And I think that's also why I went nuts in college and was constantly eating ice cream. And my roommate used to bake all the time. And I just kind of went nuts. And when I moved back here, I thought, oh, I'll walk a lot and I'll lose all the weight. And I didn't. I just kept eating more and more and more and more. So I did the crazy diet this year. I'm probably the thinnest I've been as an adult. But I also started exercising more consistently. And I was thinking about this today that like Chris is also part of this. Like I think if she wasn't a fitness instructor, I wouldn't be consistently working out because I really didn't do any 305 classes at home. Like I would, and my therapist would really encourage me to go do them to help me with my anxiety and things like that. And I will say it has been hard working from home. Like I snack a lot. I have to try to not snack a lot. I have to try to eat actual meals and not just eat cookies and pretzels all the time as like my meals. So yeah. And my body has changed in a way like, I never liked I always thought I had cankles, but after being in New York City for so long, my legs have actually like, they, even when I was heavy, like they were toned. Like I had like actual ankles and I had calves and my stomach was flat in some areas, even though I was like, I thought it was heavy, things like that. Like, so my body morphed in that sense. And even now, what after losing all the weight, like I can see, like, I'm definitely like flatter than I maybe would be as like, as if I back in like when I was a kid, I don't know. But yeah, being heavy, like at least what I thought was heavy, I didn't like the way I looked in photos, but I wasn't doing anything about it. And I think also it has to do with your environment as well. So I think my parents just kind of like gave up in a sense. But I also, like I've had talks with my dad. My dad was very critical of my weight and things like that. And I've had talks with him about it. And, you know, he thought he was trying to help me. And I was like, well, you did the opposite. So I think that's something too. Like if you have friends and family, like please be careful what you say about their weight because you don't know where they are and you know what their mindset is. And you may be trying to be helpful, but it's going to be a trigger instead. And I still have triggers when it comes to food. Now I just have to tell myself like there's certain things I shouldn't eat. And I almost say don't eat that because you're not going to feel well or you're going to gain the weight back. But yeah, and I definitely feel more confident about myself. And it's kind of weird that I did this during this weird time. And it was hard. It was really hard when I first had to go on this crazy diet. Like I really couldn't go out to dinner with friends and I didn't want to go out to dinner with friends because I didn't know whatever restaurant we were going to, like I couldn't eat like anything on the menu. I had to really make everything myself or there was maybe only a certain salad I could eat for lunch from this one place. And that was tough, but it also, I think kind of disciplined me a little bit with my eating. So Now I'm pretty normal. Now that we know like why my stomach was acting up. I don't have celiac or anything. I just had a very irritated stomach. But also like because of that, I have to watch what I eat and everything. But I'm the best I've ever felt in my body, to be honest. So that's where I'm at. And like I said, I did a whole YouTube video on this. And Weight Watchers too has changed their mindset. They used to be very much about being thin, 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 you know, lose the weight, lose the weight, lose the weight. And now they're very much like, how are you feeling? Like, are you anxious? Is your anxiety making you like gain the weight, or are you having problems like figuring out what to eat today? So
I think the emotional aspect, Jamie, is so key because, I mean, again, I know from my nutrition, my integrated nutrition studies, the fact that we may forget that, guys, beyond food and physical activity, like food and exercise, I guess, in very general sense, food is so much more, you know, like you said, Jamie, the environment, you know, so much more also people you have in your life, the relationships you have with individuals in your life, or your work, kind of like your job, your career situation, your finances, like all these different categories, guys, we consider in health coaching, kind of the circle of life. And all these things, especially like after like you learn it and go through training and whatever, even still, it's like you, it just so many bells ding and you're just like, wow, because I know, you know, when I live with my parents, me currently and Jamie has in the past, I know how that affects my own feelings of myself and I take care of myself different than when I lived alone. So I feel like, Jamie, I feel like you and I are opposite in that sense where I feel like I take better care of myself when I'm not at home, which is a weird thing.
Yeah, I take better care of myself when I'm at my parents' house. Yeah.
Yeah, I feel the opposite. Well, it kind of depends. You know what I mean? It's like I just know, even though I know like my mom tries to eat healthier sometimes and she'll like try different kinds of foods with me too. She's actually recently lost a lot of weight and it kind of throws me off and I kind of have my own like adjustments to deal with that when I'm like, it's just strange when I'm usually always kind of the small one in the family and then when it's like attention is being shifted to her when all of a sudden she lost weight and didn't know it was even a thing and all of a sudden we're like, whoa, her pants are a lot bigger than she used to be. Different personal things come up in your brain, especially my relationship with my mom. But I think also with females in general, it gets very tough when it comes to those things. So I know, Jamie, I think regardless, guys, of how someone else views your body or how maybe you think, oh, they're all like, you know, they're in shape or they're healthy and they're active and they're fine. Even still, like there was someone that I know who recently, maybe not recently, I guess maybe within the last year or two, they've gone through their own personal body transformation. So happy for them. But because I've been in my own kind of like ups and downs with kind of frustration or wants in life versus needs and just not being super satisfied with what I have going on in certain parts of my life in the last couple of years, when I heard that about them, super happy for them. But then part of you in your brain, I feel like goes, wait, but what have I done that's great or no? I don't know. It's like, I don't know if it's a Leo thing. It's a Capricorn rising thing. It's a non-zodiac thing. I don't know. It's just hard being a female when, especially to me, I think in our age range too, people always say when they get older, oh, back when I was in my 20s. But it's like, dude, but even still, I don't know. Like you said about the photos too, I feel like when you're presently in it, it's so hard to kind of like accept and realize that maybe you look like this right now, but we don't see it inside of ourselves. Because I have that problem too, for sure. Like looking on the outside, being like, oh, I look okay. Or like looking back at photos when I thought that my skin was terrible and I looked like shit. No, apparently I looked great and I never realized it. I don't know. Too many of those things go through your mind, I feel like, in these times.
Yeah. Yeah. I think also like an issue that a lot of women have is they measure like their body by like certain things. Like I was telling our friend today that I feel like I look older because I have like my skin has like tightened around my neck and my like collarbones show more. And I think that was something I always associate with thinness. Like I want my collarbones to show. Like who cares about your collarbones? But yeah, like that was something that I used to like think about all the time. And yeah, or I look at old photos. I'm like, oh my God, like my neck is so big. Like what? Like, I don't understand. And I think it's also hard. We talk about this in Weight Watchers too, that when you lose weight, people have this fear of buying new clothes and they don't want to buy new clothes because they're always afraid they're going to gain the weight back because that's usually what happens. And my philosophy is you don't keep the old clothes. Like they're just going to remind you of what you were like. Just go buy new. If you gain the weight back, just go buy new clothes. Like go buy clothes that make you feel good. Even if maybe you don't feel good, they're, you know, I had a favorite pair of jeans when I was still heavy that were great because they were comfy and I loved them and I thought they made me look good. But that's something we always talk about too, is like, do you get rid of the old clothes and buy new clothes, or do you save them for that rainy day? So
I love that, Jamie, especially because I never mentioned this on here, but this is separate, but it totally ties into what you just mentioned about, I think anyone when it comes to, you know, body changes and then having previous clothes and having them attached to memories, especially for women, because I feel like clothes hold a lot of identity for us, especially us being in fashion or like having fashion education, right? Like fashion defines so much by you beyond expression. It's like, you know, I know when I'm feeling my best, I'm not wearing like joggers and a long sleeve, but that's not fair because I'm wearing that right now. But also that's like post shower after teaching class earlier today. Anyway, that's my Sunday. That's my Sunday casual go-to post athletic work situation. Anyways, but I think, Jamie, that there was a TV show called How Do I Look? Did you ever see that? It was like on Style Network. Fiona Hughes used to host it. Okay, different maybe channel. You didn't get that on TV, but we had this back when I was in high school. Long story short, a lot of people, Jamie, on that show were wearing clothes that did not currently fit them. Maybe after they had gone through a significant weight loss or a significant weight gain, or, you know, oftentimes it was kind of like a positive, like, oh, they maybe had taken care of themselves and totally thought more positive of themselves, but they were still dressing kind of like their old, maybe less positive, kind of shrumpy, maybe not, just like being proud of what they're looking like. You know what I mean? For whatever capacity that means for them. And then what you said, it's so crazy to think, guys, that how people dress too is so connected to how they feel emotionally. And I know that for a fact, because I know since being back in Vermont, it's also different because I used to work in like sales jobs, right? Like, I feel like, you know, also pre-COVID for everybody, you know, I mean, like I used to enjoy looking cute because everyone's going to see you and you feel good. And it's like, oh, like, you know, just to like having people, I think, recognize, I don't know, simple things, right? Like, oh yeah, like it's a human that's going to see me today. Now today I'm like, oh, who's going to see me? I'm in the grocery store with a mask on. Like that's a hot piece of ass to look for. I don't know. Like it's just different. So I think that's the thing too. And that's the hard part. I know for me, especially with socializing now where, you know, I like to look good for myself, right? Hopefully most women, hopefully guys, the core of most things that you do it for yourself, right? The bonus is if someone else compliments it, it makes you feel good. But hopefully that's not your prime reasoning. Like, I want to look good for myself, yes. But I know when maybe I'm not in the best kind of like, oh, I'll pop in fresh, confident, sexy self vibe. Maybe that day I'm not going to look as great. And then I know it's almost like it affects your mental. It's crazy. I feel like.
Yeah. I think it also affects you if people don't notice it, like kind of you're talking about with your mom. Like when I started losing weight, my coworkers all noticed it. They were like, whoa, you look tiny. And then I went to go see a bunch of our friends like a few months ago and like, no one said anything. And I wanted to be like, but I mean, you can tell, like, I'm pretty sure you can tell, but like no one said anything. And then our friend today was like, you look great, by the way. She's like, I can tell you, like, you've lost weight.
Jamie, maybe mean like because we're closer, but dude, like I feel like I noticed it like forever ago. I mean, even though also we talk about it all the time, even still, it's like about our life. Dude, like I can tell over Zoom. Hello, you know what I mean? Even though I haven't seen you in a while because I couldn't visit.
Yeah. I had coworkers from across, like in LA. Like one of my coworkers was like, Jamie, you look like you look skinny. Like, what did you do? And I'd be like, oh, thank you. Yeah. I lost a lot of weight recently. Like, yeah, but I think it also kind of messes you up because you want people to notice. And then when people don't, you're like, what the hell?
That's a tough part too, guys, right? Because I know, to me, everyone's different. I know, Jamie, I know because your situation, like, dude, I know you're like in a healthy place. Like, I'm not worried about you. Like, I know what you're doing. And it's like, yeah.
That's also another reason why I gained a lot of weight was because my mental health was not good.
Oh, but Jamie, I think that's true. I'm saying whether you're saying, you know, it's like with either gaining or losing, whatever, when someone, I feel like when they notice it, you know, whether they're close friends or family, how that can affect us more, but also if someone like doesn't notice when you feel like you've, you know, either gained something back or strength, like I experienced that a different way, but even similar. I didn't mention before, guys, but again, how Jamie's had her own kind of ups and downs. I had my own ups and downs in different senses because I lost 15 pounds when I had my back surgery. And that was not because of that was not like a diet exercise change. That was purely, it's very common for scoliosis surgery in general, guys. You're not supposed to lose weight, but it's like, it's common because A, they're stretching your body, and B, guys, nature of my surgery beyond getting 2 inches, they had to go in the front portion beyond just my back. They had to go and they're right in the front of like up my rib cage. I know it's crazy, cool shark bite, but the front affects your digestion, Jamie. I think I told you for a while, guys, like, yeah, I could swallow food, but like my appetite was so different for honestly probably half a year after my surgery.
Yeah, that's how when I had my appendix. So the first time I had the first surgery I had where they actually took out my appendix, I had like no appetite at all. But when I had to go in for my complications and they had to do a second surgery, I gained all the weight back because I was like starving all the time. Also, I was sitting in a hospital bed for nearly 2 months.
That too. Yep. But that's me. Yeah. And that's the thing too. It's like, it's either like a weight thing or a muscle. But for me, it was like a muscle loss thing, which, you know, was more of my personal situation where I taught surf. So like I said, the picture that I still look back on, I guess my own kind of my own problem to kind of accept that that was then, not now, but how I know my body is still not as strong and as toned as it was pre-surgery, and that still eats me alive. And 3 years later, I need to just like figure out, you know what, this is now, it's my body's a different adjustment, but my arms were so good. I was getting a lot of compliments on my arms. I never even noticed that. I was just like, oh, I've always had upper body strength, take care of my arms, scooping ice cream, Ben and Jerry stuff, slash like doing track running and also dancing, gymnastics, whatever, just like active basketball a little bit. But I was like low-key in the driveway and softball, a little bit of like intramural stuff with like clubs growing up. But I feel like when I know with surf said, my arms are really good, my body, and everyone was like, oh, it's great. It was like positive stuff. But then since the surgery, I know I personally would not be able to get my abs back up to where they were or my arms. And that's like a personal thing. So I just, it's bodies are so complicated.
Yeah. That also makes me think about why people work out. Like I work out to not necessarily because I want to build muscle. I work out more so to get my metabolism going and to help keep my weight down a little bit and strength more so. Like I'm not looking to build muscle. I just want to build my strength up, to be honest. Like, but some people work out because they want to build muscle and they want to get defined and whatnot.
I mean, I don't want to be a bodybuilder, don't worry. But it's like, I think, Jamie, you know, it's like same with everyone's thing where because I don't have a lot of curves, I mean, I feel really good being strong and toned. I just know for me personally, because not like it's like before and after, kind of like, oh, back when I was 25, but 3 years ago, yeah, like I was in the best shape of my life before I went into my surgery. And I'm saying that based on, I know my endurance was rock solid. I felt so good doing a lot of things. I'm saying, even though obviously I had different back pain in my own kind of situation because of the scoliosis, which again, it's a good thing it happened. It's just some days I don't always know. The fact that, you know, I know that like I'm not able to run as long or as far the same way I was then. But also I know when I was in New York, I was running a lot more. I was like weekend kind of thing. You know, I would like run every Sunday in Astoria Park. And it was like the best mental high escape from like my 9 to 5, 9 to 6, 9 to 7, whatever kind of job I had during the week, you know, and friends on Saturday and Friday. And then I was like, hey, you know, plus like you said, Jamie, walking around New York, you said, plus like I'd go out dancing like every weekend for a while, like on Friday, Saturday nights, not like crazy, crazy, but you know, dude, like sweating balls and like breaking it down.
Yeah. Oh my God. You just made me think about how whenever I go home and come back, that first time I go and take like a long walk, my legs are so sore the next day. Because I don't do that much walking when I'm home.
Dude, for sure. Jimmy, oh my God, dude, I told you I felt that difference. Even just like being back, that's the thing too. That's what's like, I think also kind of like it creates anxiety, paranoia when I'm sure many people are having that experience now where maybe the life routine, Jamie, in a certain environment, you know, maybe more city-like, or maybe they're used to having more space or maybe more freedom, depending on their concern with the virus and host to humans or whatnot. The fact that people now are maybe not moving the same, because then it's like, dude, it takes so much like, you know, consistency to have that endurance, because when you're not in New York City, when you don't live there and like people visit, they're like, oh my God, I'm so tired. When you're there all the time walking nonstop, you don't think about it. But I didn't think about that, Jamie, too. With you going back and forth, dude, that does add a challenge to it. I'm sure. Plus, you know, your schedule, because you're not going to the office every day. You know, it's like that's so many changes.
Yeah.
For that too. And also like makes me worried too, because I'm like, not like, I know I'm not getting lazy, but I worry, you know, it's like personal stuff. I'm just kind of like, oh, I don't want to, you know, be feeling like, oh, like you don't walk when, you know, when you're in a suburban place, or especially like in most states, aside from like big cities, you're walking not that much. And even though I'm active, it's different. Like, yeah, I'm biking and I'll go running and I'll go for like walks a little bit here and there. Not New York City mileage. It's not just like daily, you know, point A to point B, Jimmy. As we know, the way New York was more so before pandemic, I know people are still obviously out and about, but it's just different. Of course, the routine, people changing.
Yeah.
Out of like motion, it's like an endurance thing, guys. Also, it's the hard part with muscle, Jamie, I think too, is that muscle memory is always used. But even beyond that, I'm not a personal trainer, so I don't know the exact anatomy and all specifics about this, but I know in general that with repetitive action of repeated muscle groups being worked, your muscle like builds up strength, because it's like it's used to that movement. If you do it a little bit here and there, the toning is just it's just different. Like, I don't know, just it builds differently. Also, everyone's body takes shapes differently, because like, right. Jamie, too, you know, I know some people who I feel like, I've said it before, but I don't know if this is like a myth or if this is true, but I feel like most females too have like a body part maybe that they feel always just like looking good on their body, and then another part that's maybe like always kind of like more prone to gaining weight, I feel.
Yes,
like.
I have that. My thighs, okay, I may lose weight in my waist. Like this is also why I also don't necessarily throw out clothes when I lose weight. I have a small waist, but I have big thighs. it runs in my family. My mom said, I'm sorry, you got your dad's side, family size. You were whatever. So I went down in a size in jeans, which is fine, but in my waist, I could probably go another size down, but I know it's not going to fit my thighs. And my bottom, like that's the part of my body that always, no matter, like that's the one part that like I always gain weight in, like it just, or it holds my weight the most. I was going to say with my boobs, this is the one thing that pisses me off. No matter how much weight I lose, my boobs don't go down. They don't shrink. They don't shrink. Cup size? No.
Some people have that though, where all of a sudden like they have nothing and I'm like, where'd they go? Yeah.
My band gets smaller, but that's it.
Not the cup, Jamie, not the actual like.
No, the cup's like, sorry, we're not going anywhere. And I'm like, what is happening right now? So my boobs and my thighs are like, no, no, sorry.
Jamie, I love that. Like, dude, this is why, like, I mean, I love you so much for many reasons, but I love that. Like, I feel like we have so many similarities, but so many differences too when it comes to that. It's like, dude, for me, obviously, like, I am like little itty bitty titty committee, and I'm so proud because, like, when I got a little bit of boobage, I'm like, what the hell is this? I can't handle it. Like, people look great with them. I don't feel it doesn't, I feel like it doesn't match up because I have a short waist. Like, yes, I gained 2 inches in my waist, but like, I'm more leg than waist. So I feel like when I, if I have anything up here, I'm like, where'd the waist? I just different. Like, I have very much like a pencil ruler situation. I'm not curvy. I'm happy about that. But yet, it's not like I go in at the waist. Like, I'm pretty straight up and down. So I feel like for me, yes, my midsection will kind of stay pretty small. But I know since having the surgery, like, my, like, the lines of my abs, again, I'm a freak. But even still, just, like, you know, self-critical problems, you got to, like, accept, relax. Like, it's the way it is. It looks different, of course, because of my scar now compared to the right side. They're not, like, it's not symmetrical, right? No one's body's the same on both sides. But I feel like still, since my strokes.
My calves are different, like, shapes.
Dude, I've never even noticed that. That's crazy. But again,
like, my left one is like not as toned as my right one's not as toned as the left one.
Maybe it's almost like you're Jamie. It's almost like maybe kind of like you push off stronger with one leg.
Yeah. That's always bothered me.
Yeah. No, but I told you, I told you since the strokes, guys, because my left arm, I told you, basically went numb and blood flow stopped flowing on the left side of my body, of my left thigh and my left leg and left arm. The two kind of like my personal issues with it, which again, we had to accept, guys, but just the kind of frustrations of like bodies and women's and like figuring out, okay, what can I control and not control? My left bicep doesn't match my right. And I'm like, they're not even cousins anymore. I don't know. That sounds ridiculous, but you know what I mean?
Like your eyebrows are supposed to be like cousins, not sisters.
Princess Diaries. Like, yes. But that's bothered me for a while because I feel like on the left side, just like it doesn't build the same way. And I get it. I'm right-handed. I'm dumb. You know what I mean? Especially today, I was like making my energy bites actually like after class earlier today. Fun stuff anyway, but, like pure energy bites, kind of like health bite things I make. And stirring it, I was like, yeah, working the arm. I'm like, you can feel it. And I'm like, shit, we did arms today a little bit, but only a smidge, mainly lower stuff. But I was like, my arm felt different. Like, just like, you know, baking, cooking, you feel it in your arms. But even still, it's like, I know personally my left hasn't felt as strong as my right. And that bothers me because I feel like I felt very balanced before. And my thing, Jamie, when it's like for your boobs, like for me, it's like, I never had a big butt. I feel like I had a cute toned butt and my left cheek went fry is a pancake in the hospital. When I was in the hospital, it sounds funny. Maybe everyone's like, no big deal. You always had like a little baby ass. Doesn't matter. It was literally flat on the left side and the right side had a little bit of something and they're still not balanced. Maybe it's the opposite. One of them is flat and the other one's like kind of half risen. Jamie, one's like a half cooked loaf of bread. The other one.
Oh, Krista.
No, but you know what I mean, Jamie? It's like, it's just so crazy, guys, how that's the hard part where it's like, you guys laugh at it because, I mean, we all have things about our body that people don't notice, guys. And, like, it's just as long as all that matters at the end of the day, it's so much easier said than done. I know I'm saying this and it's true. But as long as you feel good about this, about how you feel good, and I know for me personally, I haven't felt as strong as I used to be. That's, like, my own conflict right now. Like, my endurance isn't where it used to be and, like, my own muscle and stuff, like, for myself. But it's more about how you feel kind of thing than how you actually look. Because I've, like, had that problem lately with, like, some of my jeans are tight and I'm like, oh crap, is it because I've gotten stronger legs or is it just like stuff is, I don't know, you know, it's like, it's frustrating. And it's also like, you can't analyze it too much, but I know, I think right now, depending on everyone's schedule, maybe more of this gets to us because we have less opportunity to kind of like exit the building and interact and be busy the way we maybe used to be. That kind of thing, slash holidays are coming, and I love the holidays too, but I mean, I don't like to worry about the holidays when it comes to food. Like, no, I like to eat whatever, but just, I know my life routine is just different now, of course, since I'm not out of the house moving the way I used to be, of course, compared to I was at the gym this time last year. Of course, I feel like I was busier on my feet. You know what I mean? At least Jamie on our feet, right? Because most people are kind of like more sedentary for sure right now.
Yeah, I'm very sedentary.
I just hate because I'm in a car a lot, and that just drives me nuts. And that's just like, that's not new. It's just the fact that I'm really, really, really kind of like losing it over that 3 years later. Also, I don't like to like be restricted to a car, especially when people like, I can walk faster, not than a car. But you know what I mean, Jamie? You know when you walk in the street, New York City style, you can walk, keep going fast, and like no one's going to die. In a car, like if you don't slow down or stop, like someone's going to die. And it's not funny, but it's true. And I mean, it's just, I'm saying the fact that there's more barriers, right, and more things to consider with a big vehicle, of course, than your actual body. I just don't like things being beyond myself to control. Yeah. I don't know. It's just...
Don't compare your body to others like you wouldn't compare your resume to someone else. Your experiences are different than other people.
That's a tough comparison, Jamie, because the resume thing, oh, geez.
But it's true. Like, I used to tell people that. I used to tell incoming students at FIT, I'd be like, you're going to get different internships than the kid next to you, and, like, your experiences are going to be different than theirs. And I feel like people's bodies are like that. Everyone's bodies are different because we all have different genes. We all have different environments. Like, your body's not going to look like Kim Kardashian, sorry. No matter how much plastic surgery you get.
Dude, I don't want to look like her. Do people want to look like her?
Yes.
I mean, it's like a thing, but like, geez. No, but Jimmy, I love that you mentioned that. You said that when you were a tour guide to students. That's beautiful.
Yeah, I used to tell people that all the time. Because I learned when I was interviewing that there was just no way I could compare my resume, my experiences to what my friends did. Because we all had different experiences and different skills.
I know. No, you're so right. It's just sometimes it's so hard at that time to not, because I know, especially, you know, for different things that we were both, you know, going for in different kind of subsections of the industry, the fact that I know for magazine things, I was always maybe not thinking about it, but it got to me when I had other friends in my classes, but not so much in my classes, but kind of like in the magazine club that I was in. A lot of them were like doing some really amazing internships. And I was like, yeah, I did some great stuff too. Like, I'm very happy with what I did in college. But the fact that even still, sometimes some of them seem to kind of like have good stuff going on, or they got hired before they graduated, and I was like, ooh, that was what really bit me in the because I was like, yo, I've been busting it since I got here. Most people have here. I know most people have. You know what I mean? Most of us like didn't just like wait till senior year to figure things out. But just the way the world works, and that's the hard part. But that's like, Jimmy, that's a good thing we talk about on here too. It's so true. But it's similar in different ways. But the same case, the fact that even if maybe we have, both of us have several different friends, different points of their life, all at the same age as us. Some are married, kids, life, etc. Some have shifted careers hardcore. Some of them are still in school. Some of them maybe done the same job they've done their entire post-grad situation so far. All of it's okay. It's just totally specific to that individual, which is, it's like impossible to compare, but the hard part is we do. And we can't do it as much, guys. I think especially right now, it's that. I feel like, Jamie, probably even more so, I don't know about you, but I feel like more people over the next few months, maybe even into next year, guys, maybe making some career shifts that they weren't planning on making because of the adjustments with COVID.
Yeah.
I think that's very possible if it hasn't already been happening. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, yeah, bodies, guys, are like everything else. Those comparisons are great, Jamie. I wanted to top it, but I couldn't. I'm sorry. That was just too perfect.
Thanks.
Yeah. I love that. Any final thing we should say on that, or should we move into our favorites? I can't tell if we like touched upon like the right stuff.
I don't know. I'm trying to think. I was just thinking this, like seeing my parents, that I think it's good for people to know. And on this, you know, as we get older, that, you know, your body has different changes, and you have to kind of allow your body to have those changes and go through those, you know, like maybe you're going to get a little wrinkler too as you get older. You can always get Botox. You know, maybe your boobs are going to sag a little more, but I think sometimes people don't want to believe, they just want to get younger and younger and younger. And I think you should embrace, like, you know, getting older and the things that are happening to your body. And if you're trying, you know, for me losing weight, like somehow I lost weight faster than I did when I was 25 or 24, you know, and I'm 28, like that's weird, but you know, that's another thing too. If you're trying to lose weight and maybe you lost weight when you were younger and you did it quickly, it's not going to come off maybe as fast 10, 20 years down the line. So, yeah.
Like also, Jamie, I mean, this is maybe like my health coach stuff, but also I know for you, dude, you are working on it for a while, and it's like people need to know, guys, or any kind of like body and health stuff, it's not an overnight thing regardless.
It never leaves you.
unless you're getting a liposuction, and I don't recommend any of those things. I don't like support some of that, but do what you got to do. I don't, I mean, even Botox, dude, even kind of makes you feel uncomfortable, because I mean, people have told you who've done it, but are our age, it's fair game. It's cool beans, but like, I don't really, I mean, I get it. I get the idea. I don't want wrinkles either, but it's like, I personally am not trying to, like, in my 20s, I get the anti-aging thing, but I think it's a bit much, but do what you got to do. We're in a crazy world. Everyone's getting things morphed on their body and fake teeth and stuff. I don't know. But it's kind of crazy to see that. I don't know. I think just like, I don't know, having like that kind of stuff is like, I don't know, it's artificial and it kind of freaks me out. But also everyone's body responds to those different treatments differently. That thing too.
Yeah. Like Krista said, you just have to do what's right for you.
Yeah. Something else you said that I was going to say something about, but out the window. Something that you said, Jamie, but I forgot. So I'm sorry. Scratch okay. That. I thought it was important, but I guess it wasn't because it escaped. My thing in general, Jamie, yeah, it's like, it's about guys kind of like being like, at least looking at it more so of a health perspective for yourself. It's like how do I feel and how do I take care of myself more so for, you know, longevity of your own health more than how you look and more than compared to somebody else, especially with your situation, we said too. And that I think applies to me too, to finances. You know what I mean? Too, people that have money may look one way versus someone who doesn't. I think that more so with, you know, people that have money, maybe have some access to doing certain things, looking a certain way, that may be totally different for you people. So it's tough not to compare that part. I know I have to, from the nature of the industry we came from, for sure. And you're still in, but I'm just saying I'm not there anymore.
Yeah. Yeah. All right, let's go into favorites.
Okay. You, I think, are you, am I first this time?
Yeah.
Okay, cool beans. Okay. Okay, friends. I have a couple today. Okay. I have some, like, abstract things. All right, friends. I feel like I've given them a shout out before, but we're going into it again. Okay. One of my faves, Jamie, of this week that I want to share, friends, is acupuncture. And the reason why I say acupuncture is I love to kind of brag about it because I hate needles. And yet I got acupuncture, which is a double negative. But you know what? I like to kind of like bite life by the balls sometimes. I'm just like, you know what? Let's go for it. Acupuncture is great when it covers, your, my insurance covers, it covers it. A lot of people's insurance will kind of cover it. So I just have a copay. Everyone uses it for different reasons. I personally, guys, enjoy going to acupuncture at this place called Integrative Acupuncture because they include integrative medicine and it's very good. Similar kind of nutrition background that I have from nutrition school that I attended. So I really appreciate their philosophy and their approach. Acupuncture, guys, in general, it's really small, kind of like acupressure points. It's great because like it helps change people that have anxiety a lot in general, slash it helps also for sleep. And like for me, obviously, and we both discuss our own sleep challenges. It helps me relax. And I know definitely with the process, it's good in general, guys. Like sometimes I put it in certain spots that will allow movement when it comes to liver and kidneys and things. And that's always pretty cool to me. Especially because we've all had a lot of emotions flowing through our lives and body this year. So acupuncture is one of my favorites. And specifically for those who are in Vermont area, they have a location in Williston. Also, they have a location I believe somewhere else, but I forgot where they're located. Wilson's the one that I go to, but they have a second location that's a little bit more, I believe, possibly southern Vermont. Anyways, so get excited about them. And also, Jamie, this week I want to give a shout out to just running in general. I know it's like a cheap non like product to mention, but running, guys, for me lately is kind of like I've reconnected with my like baby love of running. I stopped for so long after the marathon was postponed and focusing on 305, of course, and I love doing other things. However, running for me is just really great time to, especially right now in Vermont, admire the foliage, even though it sounds geeky. It's like cute when it's like a nice run along certain routes in Vermont, great nature, get outside, get the fresh air. And just, I know whenever I finish listening to great music after a run, I feel so happy and my whole day is made. So it's beautiful and it's free, guys. All you need is sneakers. So I love that for running. And Jamie, a new product actually to mention is Vital Proteins. They came out there, I think, a little bit ago, but they added like a new flavor recently. Vital Proteins Vitality Immune Boost. They have these like different packets. The flavor grape citrus is amazing. Basically, you add this packet to water.
Mm-hmm.
Awesome, guys, like dietary supplement. And it has 1,000 milligrams of vitamin C, 200% zinc, tons of electrolytes in it, L-glutamine, which is great for like brain health, energy, metabolism, vitamin B12, 200%. They also have 5 grams of collagen in it. It tastes, Jamie, like a great popsicle. And I love that flavor. So you might say it's weird. They have a different flavor option also, but it's part of, like I said, Vital Proteins has like an immune boost kind of like packet option of flavors. And it's great, guys, kind of like in general, almost like an emergency kind of thing, Jamie, but almost like an elevated version of emergency, I'd say. So I've been taking that lately just this past week because I was like, you know what? A, none of us want to get sick in general, let alone now with the virus. And also B, I've been seeing my grandmother during these times. I'll make sure I keep myself and my immunity, especially up to snuff. And there's collagen in it too. And it gets tons of vitamins in it. That's so key. And like I said, just like a great popsicle, and it's winter-ish almost. Okay, it's fall, but it's like late fall here in Vermont. So I'm like, let's like have some happy moments in our mouth with grape citrus. So it's very fun. Nefil, 305 certified instructor, actually is like a Vital Proteins like partner. And so she bought it, and I was like, dude, how is it? And she's like, it's so good. And I was like, sold. Purchased it. Tastes so great. Love it. So very simple today. But that's my line. Those are my three U.
Oh, God, I have like six.
That's okay. Are you kidding? All right. Totally fine.
All right, guys, I'm coming at you back at it again with the Netflix recommendations. Okay, so great series, if you have never watched it on Netflix, is David Letterman's – oh, hold on. I just activated my Siri. So a great, great show that is on, the second season of David Letterman's show. I think it's called like My Guest Needs No Introduction, where he interviews different celebrities. The first season he interviewed like Jay-Z, Barack Obama, Lewis Hamilton from Formula One, which guys, today Lewis Hamilton broke the world record of the most wins in Formula One. He now holds the title of the most wins ever in the sport. It's crazy. He's won 92 times over the last 13 years. Crazy.
92? Jamie.
92. The world record was 91, set by Michael Schumacher, who is a retired driver. Lewis just beat it. Crazy.
That's amazing.
It was a really boring race, which was like, eh, but his dad was there and it was cute. Anyway. But it's a great show. The first guest on it, we just mentioned Kim Kardashian. I'm not a Kim Kardashian fan. I think the family is like weird, but David Letterman interviews her, and it's actually a very good interview. And watching her talk about the Paris robbery she went through is insane. Like, she goes very in depth about it, very in detail. She basically thought she was going to get like raped and murdered when it happened. It's really awful, but I thought it was a really good interview and, showed her in a very different light. But my favorite one is the last episode. He interviews Lizzo in her house, and wow, what a great person Lizzo is. So cool. So check it out. And then I have a podcast recommendation. I was on Spotify just looking for new podcasts, and I found one. I think they're two sisters, Alana and Elena. Yeah, I think it's Elena and Alana, or Elena and Ashley or something. They both have A names.
Wait. Yes, I know the one you're going to mention. Say it. Yes,
Crime
Jamie.
Countdown?
No, wait, say it again. Oh,
Crime Countdown?
No, sorry. But those two names together, the pairing, I feel like I follow some other podcasts.
Oh, okay. It's really good. It's each episode's like 35, 40 minutes long, and each episode has like a theme. So they did like Texas murders, and they do a top 10 countdown, and each sister gives background on these like different — I'm into like true crime stuff. They talk about these different incidents that have happened. So they did like one about Texas killings. They did one about like body parts, and it's really interesting. And I like — it's a good podcast to listen to, and I like that you can listen to it out of chronological order. And then moving on to some other things on the entertainment pod, guys, I hope you don't think I have a lot of favorites, because I like to hear myself talk, by the way.
Jamie, who would ever think that? Dude, there's weeks where I've had like seven. Come on.
No. I just love a lot of things. There's a YouTuber named James Hoffman. I forgot how I discovered him. But I know how I discovered him. He came up as a suggested video on my YouTube. He is apparently this like award-winning barista of some sort. And he also has a very lovely British voice. And he does videos, in-depth videos about coffee, espresso, everything. And it's I just find his channel really fascinating. And he also just has like a really nice calming voice if you're looking to listen. But he did a video where he tested out different YouTubers' coffees. That's the first one I watched. And then I looked at his channel and I was like, oh, this is really cool. So yeah, he does a video where how you can make like a cappuccino at home without like any fancy equipment. He talks about like how to get like the perfect cup of coffee and all these things. And it's really, really interesting. And then I have some like random ones. Okay. Speaking of body stuff, I ordered a few weeks ago the Gymshark mesh neckline training sports bra, and I've been wearing it. It's really good. It's one of the, I think it's the only high supporting bra that Gymshark makes, but it's very affordable. It's only $40. Most super supportive sports bras go for at least $60 to $70. So it's a really good buy. It came to me really quickly considering it comes from Australia. I might get a matching pair of leggings for mine, and I'm thinking about getting another one of the bras. It also, if you hand wash it, it dries pretty quickly. And it also has, what I like is the band on the bra is super soft. So it doesn't dig into you when you're working out. It's a really nice, like, it's almost like, it almost feels like there's gel on your body. And I always need like a high supporting bra because of my cup size. And I was actually really surprised with this bra. And then I have a makeup favorite. Because I've decided like to try and wear more makeup, more eye makeup at least. The Maybelline Eye Studio Master Precise Eyeliner. It's a liquid liner. I've never used the Stila liquid liner, but I'm thinking this is a drugstore dupe of that. It is like foolproof. I am the worst with liquid eyeliner, and this one is so easy to use. You just need like the lightest touch and you can get like a really nice sharp eyeliner. So.
Are you wearing it right now?
No, I have no makeup on right now. I was wearing it earlier.
Can your eyes, like when you're looking down, when you're looking down for a second, I thought, I was like, oh my gosh, are you wearing eye makeup?
Oh no, there's a really bad glare coming on my glass.
No. She was all good. At first, I was like, oh my God, I know you were dolled up tonight. Okay, gotcha.
Yeah. And then something I have been playing both on my computer and my phone, just kind of keep my mind going. I like playing solitaire a lot, but I've been playing Mahjong recently.
What is that game?
It's like, it's an ancient, I don't know if it's Chinese, it's an ancient game. And basically, it's all these tiles, and you have to match up. You have to match up the tiles, but the tiles have to be in a certain position in order to be able to move them. I guess kind of like chess in a way. So yeah, it's really good because it keeps your mind going. I like doing stuff like that in solitaire. Those are the two things I usually do, but I'm playing a lot of Mahjong recently. And I find it keeps my mind going. It challenges me and I enjoy it. And there's a lot of free versions you can download for your phone or your computer.
That's it. It reminds me, I picture it looking like some like game I used to play either like, do you ever play, Jamie, like the cereal box Postopia or something? There's like a website that had all these. Okay, separate, Jamie. There's not a certain game I'm thinking of, but we're talking about the throwbacks up weeks back, thinking about how those kind of things, some of them had like some kind of cool memory games and part of that, like I feel like I'm getting a visual but I can't describe it, but that sounds so cool. Love that you're doing that right now. That's really fun.
Yeah, I think most people would think it's like it's very much like an old lady game, like a lot of old ladies play it, like my old lady neighbors play it back home, but it's really fascinating. My mom doesn't understand it, but I like, that's what I do at home. I've been playing that instead. I actually haven't played The Sims in a really long time, so I've been playing this instead. And yeah, like I play it on my phone as I'm like watching TV. I bought two new products this week, two new hair products. So I'll report back if they're my favorites next week.
Jimmy, I love that. I feel like for so long I had like some new stuff coming in. Ooh, fun stuff. Maybe I'll have some food next week. All to mention because I'm going to Trader Joe's tomorrow. So get excited, guys. Big deal. I know we're all like, what's something exciting tomorrow? Why things went on tomorrow? A little bit like, aside from class prep, but I'm going to Trader Joe's tomorrow morning, so I'm excited.
I learned that's the key. I went to Trader Joe's after my dentist appointment, and they were fully stocked, and I got everything I couldn't get last week.
Really? Oh my God, dude, good.
Yeah, it was great. It was so nice.
Well, especially, I mean, I feel like in the city, it's like, I mean, it's a different animal. You know what I mean? For sure, when it's busy.
No matter COVID or not, going to Trader Joe's in Manhattan is – even on Long Island too, my dad says it's like, you got to figure, it's like a puzzle you have to solve.
Really?
Yeah. You got to figure out like when's the best date and times. And it differs like per store as well. Like the one by me, it used to be like Saturday evening was the best time to go. But now with COVID, I learned that Saturday morning's the best time to go. And my dad says on Long Island, like the one he goes to, he's like, oh, I learned that Tuesday's the best time to go. Like Tuesday morning is good because they get all their stuff in on Tuesdays, but it's also, there's no line and things like that. Yeah, it's like a puzzle.
I love that you know that. In the city though, I used to go to the one Jimmy told you, like in Chelsea for the longest time.
Yeah.
And the one near you when I worked at Crane still, and I lived in Astoria because, like, you know, it's all about the distance that's like close to the subway after you go to Trader Joe's. I mean, I used to walk when I lived in Hell's Kitchen. I walked from Upper West Side or Chelsea and stuff, and that was like intense, but still. But yeah, I've gone to like so many locations of Trader Joe's in the city, and I love it. Union Square one too, depending, or that area kind of.
Oh, God, that one I could never figure out when to go because it was just always so crowded.
I feel like, Jimmy, I popped in there, but I feel like I haven't, I forgot, like, yes, Jimmy, not the, yeah, because the one's like around the corner from the wine area, right? Yes. That store there, I was going to regularly for a bit, not the wine stuff, like the Trader Joe's, where like they have like the big, you know, wine and liquor section. Like,
yeah, when I first moved in, I would go there, but it wasn't worth it for me to go because like I would walk all the way down there and then like the bus to go back home was always so slow. And I was like, this is not worth the time and the money.
Like it's like, maybe they're all designed the same, but I feel like it's like narrow in that store.
Like, yeah, that one's like teeny tiny.
Yeah.
The Chelsea one is one of the biggest ones.
Oh,
and also a really good one is the one in Soho on, I think it's on Hudson Street or Spring Street. I think Spring.
Groceries, Jamie?
What?
You've gone that far before with Trader Joe groceries?
I went to that one because I had to go to Brooklyn after my haircut, and I picked up some stuff there to bring to my friend's house. That one, I've also heard from a lot of people, like some people travel to that one because they like never have a line and it's big.
Oh my God. See, it totally depends. Like, yeah, depends on like what transportation you're doing afterwards. Cause I mean, I've done a lot of walking. I've done subway with the bags to my legs, like all that. I've done that to Astoria, like taking it in Manhattan to Astoria. Cause Astoria doesn't have Trader Joe's. I think Brooklyn does though, but anyways. And yeah, oh my gosh.
I have one in Williamsburg. Or maybe it's Williamsburg. Yeah, there's like one in Brooklyn.
Yes, but it's like, I know what you mean. But it depends on even people that live in Brooklyn, like Brooklynites, like even still, it's like in an odd location. Like if you're not close by, it's not even worth to go. You know what I mean? It's like, dude, crazy. But anyway, so yeah, maybe I'll have fun food next week too. We'll see. Fun food and snacks. Like I said, the Vital Protein thing, I love it. And I'm so excited about it. So do grape soda. It's like grape soda tasting. Like grape soda popsicle. And it's not like gross. Like it's not like grape medicine. You know what I mean? I'm saying it's like, it's a cool grape vibe. And I mean, well, the fact that there's collagen in it too. And like I said, extra zinc and everything. That's so good for immunity. Like echinacea around this time is also so key. I have to get more of that, by the way. But yes. Mm-hmm. Okay, friends. Well, I hope you guys enjoyed our body metamorphosis / 20s body changes episode today. As usual, new episodes come out on Tuesdays at 8 a.m. And we followed on Instagram at omgstoppod. Message Jamie and I. Let us know something. Give us a comment, DM us, any kind of, you know, maybe your favorite we mentioned, as always, that we've said, give it back to us and say, oh, I tried it too. Thoughts, comments, etc. Give it to us. Want to know.
Yeah. But everything Krista said.
Well, I'm Krista.
I'm Jamie. See you next time.